Well, thank you, Brenda, for reading that. I always appreciate when someone reads for me because the clock doesn't count against me from a reading perspective. So thank you for doing that. Speaking of the clock, let me just get my clock out here. Get it going. Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to be with you 2 weeks in a row now. And today we're going to look at a pretty long passage, much longer passage than what we saw last week. And there are really three different stories in this passage. But we're going to look at all three of these stories under one header, one title, and I call it Running Ragged. And you'll see what we mean in a moment by that. But fundamentally, what we're going to be seeing today is two things. That we have, all of us as humans, needs which we ourselves are insufficient to meet. But we frequently won't admit that, and so we run ourselves ragged trying to meet them. Okay? So we have insufficiencies that we can't meet, but oftentimes we won't admit that. And so we run ourselves ragged to meet them. That's point number one we're going to see. And then point number two is that the solution to our insufficiencies isn't to be found with us, within us. It's to be found within the one who fed the 5,000, okay, within Christ. So that is where we're going to be going today. And we are going to go there, next slide, under 3 points. We're going to look first off at this thing called running. We have some examples here in the text of people who run ragged. And we're going to look at those examples, and then we're going to see what the solution is. And the solution involves resting. And we'll see what that means. And then finally, we will look at some resources that allow us to rest. Okay? So that's where we're going. Let's start going there by starting off, next slide, with running. Running. And we see here in this first story that there are at least three people or groups of people who are running like crazy. And this running is making them ragged. They have some deep insufficiencies that they can't meet on their own. We're going to see three categories of needs that we as humans have that run us ragged, and these may or may not apply to you. If they don't apply to you, well, fill in the blank, because these are just three examples that we see in this passage. But we all have insufficiencies and needs that we can't meet, and we're going to see three of them highlighted here in this passage. The first is that we have insufficiencies in relation to our ability to work, and when we try to overcome those by working really, really hard, we can run ourselves ragged. So working, though it's a good thing, can actually run us ragged. And we have, as an example of that, the disciples. Take a look at verse 30. The apostles, that is the disciples, apostle means sent one, and Jesus actually sent them back in chapter 6, verse 7, out into the land to preach the good news of Jesus, the good news of the kingdom. And so they are out, they are working very hard. They're healing people. They're casting out demons. They're preaching the word. They're working really, really hard. And this work has started to run them ragged. So they come back to Jesus, tell them everything they have done. In verse 31, he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while." For many people were coming and going, and the disciples didn't even have any leisure to eat. So they had been working so hard that they didn't even have time to eat. Do you think they were running ragged as a result? Yeah. Have any of you worked so very, very hard that you haven't even had time to eat and you've sort of found yourselves running ragged? Yeah. Okay. Daryl, our resident nurse, has, yeah, after working hours and hours and hours at the hospital, he just decides, yeah, what is food? So running ragged based on work is something that's happened with, I think, all of us. In fact, I was reading this week some statistics about Americans working. Americans generally work very, very hard. And guess what percentage of U.S. adults as a result of work are sleep deprived? Pardon? 95%? Okay, I think that's a little projection on your part, Tiffany. So we have one running ragged mom right up here. But it's actually only a third. But still a third. 33% of U.S. adults are medically sleep deprived. Okay, they're running ragged because of work. And many of them actually are working moms. In fact, who knows? I don't know who wrote this one. Maybe it was you, but I came across a meme written by a running ragged mom this week that I thought was sort of funny. She said, I'm looking for a moisturizer that hides the fact that I've been tired since 2010. Okay? So running ragged from, and the disciples weren't. So what happens? Well, verse 32, I find this rather ironic. They say, okay, solution to running ragged from work, let's get away from work. And so they get into a boat and they go away, verse 32, to a desolate place by themselves. But what greets them when they get there? More work. Yeah. Yeah, the people had seen where they were going. They run around and lo and behold, surprise, we're here. More work for you to do. And this represents sort of a principle in life, which many of you probably have experienced, that if you think the solution to running ragged from work is to run away from work, guess what happens when you escape from work? More work greets you. Yeah. More what greets you in the... So escapism is not necessarily the solution to this running ragged from work, which the disciples find out here. So this is one category, but a second category of running ragged that we see in the passage that some of us might experience is the running ragged that the people here in this story experienced. If you noticed, they have great physical need. Verse 35... And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the hour's late. Send the people away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. If you read some of the parallel passages in the other Gospels, all four Gospels mention this story, you see that the people had gone the entire day in a desolate place without any food, and they were now faint. They were starting to run ragged from physical need. Do we all have, as humans, physical needs? Yeah. And can the lack of being able to meet those needs on our own part cause us to run ragged? Yeah, and the physical need doesn't just have to be food. I mean, it could be health needs. It could be financial needs. Fill in the blank for what your physical need is, but you can run ragged as a result. I mean, even food. In America, we generally have enough food for everybody. But still, sometimes, in fact, I was brought up in a family where sort of food was a necessary evil. You ate to stay alive, but you definitely did not live to eat. And I remember if I ever wanted to impress my dad, I would just come home after a day at school or college and say, guess what, Dad? What? I didn't eat any food today. Yeah, that's my man. You know, just let the body doesn't have to succumb to this poor. I remember when I was in kindergarten, my parents, I just thought of this one. When I was in kindergarten, my parents gave me a nickel one day for an entire week because at school there was an ice cream truck that for some special reason was coming. And for a nickel, you could get an ice cream cone. And I remember going up to that truck with my nickel and then looking up there and thinking, and this is back when I sort of liked ice cream. No, I don't need that food. And I put it in my pocket and I went home and I told my dad, I didn't spend the money on food. I still have the nickel. He said, oh, no, if you could go do it the next day, do it the next day. So I went the next day. No, I'm not going to do it. I went the entire week without ever buying my ice cream cone. I still look back on that, sort of wish I would. But nonetheless... Nonetheless, food and the lack thereof can cause us to run ragged. Why I mentioned this whole thing was to tell you my wife is not of the same opinion. And she has, our entire 23 years of marriage, told me, Tim, you actually do need food to keep yourself from falling apart. And it's taken me a long time to figure this one out. But just this last year, I had some really long days at work. And I got to admit, I came home one night and told her, because I had not had much for breakfast. I didn't eat any lunch. And I worked to like 8:30 or 9 at night. And around 7:30, I actually started feeling a little faint. And my grandma always used to get the shakes if she didn't have her three meals a day. And I thought that was the weakest, most stupid thing. But you know what? Around 7:30 at night, I started to get a little lightheaded, and I wasn't shaken, but I was faint. And I called up my wife. I said, I'm just not feeling well. And what'd she say? Have you eaten? I said, no. Well, why don't you try to eat a little something? No, that can't be it. But I did go to Celestino's anyway. I grabbed myself a slice, and guess what? I did feel a little better. I said, what do you know? Man alive, she is right. But it's still hard for me to admit that. Nonetheless, we all do physically grow faint for lack of some sort of physical necessity. We can run ragged from this, and we see the people running ragged from this. Number three in the story, we see that we can also, as humans, run ragged from our own insufficiencies. Our own insufficiencies. Now, this is the one thing I have against Mark, and I mean that very respectfully. He was inspired when he wrote this, but I actually far prefer John's account of this passage because John includes a little note that I have always liked in this passage, and it's the note regarding the little boy who brought the two fish and the five loaves. In John 6, verse 9, we see that these two fish and these five loaves, they're actually brought by a little boy. And I've always wondered about that little boy. I don't know if you've thought to wonder, what type of a little guy was he? What sort of a lad was he? And I tend to think, just given the fact that he brought his food rather selflessly, that he was probably a sensitive person. And he probably was understanding of people's needs and wanted to do something to meet those needs. I mean, he sees here there are at least 5,000 people in the desert, gone an entire day without food, and they're growing faint. And so here's a little guy who sees a need and says, I want to help meet that need. But on his own, does he have sufficient resources to do so? No, he doesn't. And have you ever had that feeling of there's a great need out there and it's really weighing on you and you want to meet it? You want to help in the meeting of it, but you realize, I only have five loaves and two fish. And there's really not a lot I can do. And can that start to weigh on you? I know people who are crushed. Sometimes we get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and I have to just stop reading it. Most issues, I can't make it all the way through because it's just, I say, oh, what the Christians are going through in the rest of this world is so horrible, and what can I do? I mean, prayer almost seems, you know, a little quick five-minute prayer. Like, I just, and I start to get weighed down by the incredible need which I myself cannot meet. So we can start to run ragged when we see the needs in others that we can't meet, but also are there needs in ourselves that we spiritually or psychologically or emotionally cannot meet? Are there needs in ourselves and related to perfection, to being morally like God in whose image we were made, and that alone brings us fulfillment? But are we insufficient to make ourselves morally perfect? Yes, we are. How many of you have heard of Hudson Taylor? Okay, good number of you. He was one of the first missionaries from the U.S. to China, if not the first, founded the China Inland Mission. And my wife's reading his reading a collection of his letters right now. And this week, she had read me this letter to his sister, where he was actually struggling with the insufficiency of his spiritual abilities, the insufficiency of his faith. And he was starting, I'm going to read you one section, you're going to see in a second, he's starting to run ragged from the weight of, oh, I have these spiritual needs that I can't myself take care of. Here's what he writes. He says, I felt assured that Christ had all I needed, but the practical question was how to get it from Christ. I knew Christ has abundant provision, But how to get his provision is the question. I strove for faith. I'm running after faith. But it wouldn't come. Seeing more and more the wonderful supply of grace laid in Jesus, my guilt grew. For unbelief was the damning sin of the world, yet I indulge in it. I pray for faith, but faith didn't come. What was I to do? Have you ever felt that? Insufficiency in relation to faith. Oh God, I want to have faith. I want to trust you. But I can't work it out on my own. What am I to do? Do you see Hudson Taylor running ragged there from his insufficiencies? I think so. So what's the solution to all of this? What's the solution to the running ragged in whatever category of life you have? I think we asked the wrong question, and Hudson Taylor asked the wrong question here. What was his question there? The question at the end of that little quote, what am I to do? Why is that the wrong question? Because you really can't do anything. You really can't, because you're what we call finite. You're a human. You don't have infinite provisions to meet your needs. But is there someone who does? Yeah. Let's look at the next slide. That's the running. What's the solution? The solution is resting. The solution is resting. Resting in Christ. So the answer to our running ragged for whatever the category might be is to rest in Christ, his person and his provision, rather than to run ragged after things. Notice what Christ does here in verse 39. Verse 39, the people are running ragged based on their physical needs. And what does Christ say to them? Verse 39, then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. I love that little phrase, the green grass. Isn't green grass, so long as it's not super, super wet after a rainstorm, but isn't it just nice to sit down in green grass? And to, notice, sit down in green grass. Now, this right here is the first principle of Christianity. And this principle right here, to sit down and receive, to sit down in the green grass and rest, it is the principle that differentiates Christianity from every other religion in the world, from every other philosophy of life. Because every other religion in the world, every other philosophy of life says what? You have a need, you have an emptiness, you need to get it filled. So here's the program. Start running down this program. You need to diet? Well, here are the diet steps. You need to win friends and influence people? Well, here are the steps to do that. Run, run, run down these steps, follow our program, and then you can attain your objective and rest. But Christianity says, no, 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 that's 100% backwards. No, first, you need to rest in Christ. You need to receive his provision. And yeah, there will come a time for running, but then when you start running, you're not going to be running under the power of your own self-generated food. You're going to be running with his power, right? You will be running with his power. For the first principle is sit and receive. Notice, I mean, this crowd, what did they do to receive this food? Did they pray for this food? Did they even ask for the food? No, they sure off didn't work for the food, did they? Did they find themselves worthy of the food? You know, oh Jesus, we know we didn't bring our food, but we were so interested in spiritual things that we realized that food is just for the body, but we wanted our hearts and souls to be fed. So hence, we were going after that, which is better, and we're sort of worthy now of having you provide for us some physical food. Is that the case? No, the people were what? Stupid, right? They're just flat out stupid. Hey, let's go a day into the desert and not bring any food. You know, sort of like me without my wife, right? So they're not worthy of this in any way, shape, or form. There's no reason as to why they should get provision from Jesus, but does that matter? No, because that's what we call grace. The old Latin term, prima gratia, grace primarily. Grace is what fuels the Christian life, and grace is God's unmerited favor. You don't need to ask for his help. You don't need to work for his help. You don't need to be worthy as his help. No, his grace just comes in, intrudes into our lives, and helps us. And yeah, we might be unworthy. We might feel a little guilty about that, but if we can humble ourselves and just sit and receive and accept that, we receive the wonderful provision for our lives. I love the quote by Paul Tillich. He said, here's what Christianity is: accepting the fact that you've been accepted in Christ even though you're unacceptable. Accepting the fact that you've been accepted in Christ even though you're unacceptable. So, what is Christianity's answer to rest, to sit and receive? And when we do that, do we receive satisfaction? Yeah, look at the verse. Look at verse 42. So they followed what Jesus told them to do. And verse 42 tells us, and they, the people, all ate and were what? Satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. So when we sit and receive, we can be satisfied. And what can we be satisfied with? I mean, so many things, because Christ is infinite, but a thought of just four, we can be satisfied in his sacrifice for us. We're about to have the Lord's table. And what did Jesus say? He took bread, broke it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, broken or sacrificed for you. Running ragged to have your spiritual needs met, Jesus is already taking care of that. Number two, be satisfied with his provision for your sin. Matthew 26, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Number three, be satisfied with his eternal life. What did he say to the woman at the well? John 4, whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become a spring of water welling up into what? Eternal life. I mean... what an incredible solution for running ragged. Do you know that in Christ right now, you have eternal life? Yeah, your physical life might be passing away. Yeah, you might be tired and worn out, but you have eternal life in Jesus. Drink that in. And then finally, satisfied with his presence now. This is the one that Hudson Taylor turned to when he was struggling with the insufficiency of his own faith, when he was struggling with the insufficiency of his own abilities. He wrote the following based on coming to the realization that we find in Hebrews 13 and Ephesians 2, that Christ is with him, Christ is in him, he is a partaker of the divine nature. Hebrews 13:5, Christ says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ephesians 2, you have now been united with Christ. And so here's what Taylor wrote. He said, I realized, how do I strengthen my faith? Well, not by striving or running after faith. No, but by resting in the faithful one. But by resting in the faithful one. He goes on, can Christ be rich and I poor? Can a heart be fed if the body starves? Well, we are Christ's body. And full identification with Christ brings rest and satisfaction. so I'm no longer anxious about anything. If God should place me in a serious perplexity, must he not give me guidance? In a position of difficulty, he will give me grace. In circumstances of great pressure, he will give me strength for, and this is key, his resources will prove equal to the emergency. And his resources are mine, for he is mine and is with me and dwells in me. End quote. Isn't that good? His resources will prove equal to the emergency, and his resources are mine, for he is mine and is with me and dwells in me. And you say, Tim, well, that's great, but what are his resources? Well, and with that, we close. Final slide. Because Jesus then sort of says, okay, you wonder if you can sit and rest in me, and if my resources will carry you. Well, here, let me hit you over the head with some of my resources. Guess what I can do? Verse 48, walk on water. Okay? And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them, and about the fourth watch of night, he came to them walking on the sea. If you had a friend who could, Casey can walk on the sea, okay? He goes and walks on Horseshoe Lake. I saw him the other day. You need some help. Do you think he has some sort of supernatural ability, if he can do that, that he could help you with? The answer is yes. So Jesus, he can walk on water. But not only that, it's even bigger. Verse 51, he can calm storms. He got in the boat with them and the wind ceased. There's a mini hurricane going on in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus's power, his presence, stops it. I mean, it's one thing to stop the slight drizzle that we have out here, but a hurricane? I mean, do you realize the power and the resources behind the power to stop a hurricane? You say, well, that's all really big stuff. What about, you know, personally, for a little individual like me? Well, verse 55 through 56, and all the people around the whole region begin to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came in the villages, city or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were what? Made whole, made well. Insufficiencies gone. They had absorbed the solution of Christ, not even through touching his person, but there's so much power. Christ has so many resources that they almost spill over into his physical clothing. That's our God. That's our Jesus, who wants you to just rest in him. So are you doing that? Am I doing that? I know I'm not moment by moment, day by day as I should. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to try to rest way, way harder, right? Yeah, I'm going to run to rest a lot harder. No, just stop, sit, and receive and say, Jesus, you are in me. I am yours and you are mine and we are one forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we are poor and needy. Please forgive our pride that drives us to try to solve our own problems on our own with our own sufficiency. Thank you for the times you do humble us and show us that we cannot multiply bread or fish, but that we need your supernatural provision and presence. Help us to realize this every moment of every day. Help us to rest in that, and we thank you so much that that is your good will toward us. We're very grateful. In Christ's name. Amen.